Well, we have a really special opportunity this morning to have Orgertz and his family with us. Orgertz and his family are from Albania and just finished his counseling degree at LBC here in Lancaster and is preparing in the next year to go back to Albania and begin a counseling ministry there. And he's going to share a little bit about that as well as more of his heart. We got to know Orga and Shpresa when they moved into the house two houses down, fresh from Albania, trying to figure out this crazy country and what they were doing here. And it's been such a joy to get to know them. They live in Washington Borough now, they connect at Millersville Mennonite Church, our sister church there in Millersville. And it's just been such a joy to know them and to get to know them. And another random fact is that the first person from Living Light to meet Orgert was actually Tim on his Yes team in Albania many years ago. Right, Orgert? You met Tim when he was there? Yeah. Or he met you, yeah. So it's fun. Unfortunately, Tim's not here this morning. But it's fun to have that connection. So I'm going to invite Orgert to come up. He's going to share a little bit with us, and then we'll have a time just like 2 weeks ago with Jan. We'll have a time for questions, any questions you have about Albania or their experience or what God has called them to. We will be able to talk together about that at the end of Orgert's sharing. So let's pray together as we begin. Father, we're so grateful that we are here this morning together with you and with each other. And we're grateful this morning especially for Orger and Shpresa and their family. What a gift to be able to hear their hearts and all the ways that you're at work in their lives. So we welcome your spirit to open our hearts and minds to be expanded in how we understand your work and what you're up to be filled with hope for the good things that you are doing in our lives and in the world, and to be encouraged in the places you have put us and the callings you have put on our lives. So we pray that your spirit would do that. Bless Orgert as he shares the things you have put on his heart with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for having me here. It's a privilege. It's an honor. I'm humbled as well. So, by the way, I like the format of the way of how, you know, this church has decided to, you know, to arrange the chairs. It feels like family, like it's like homey. I don't know about you, but I was expecting, you know, these wooden chairs, you know, like on the parallel, but I really love this way. Yeah, actually, when I became a believer through, let's say, or I don't know if they were exactly Mennonites, but I can remember that when I was a teenager, I met some Mennonite missionaries with Yes Team in Albania, and there is where I heard actually more about the gospel. So it's interesting then how God can use, you know, the people that were back then when I was around 16 years old. And now when I come here, and one of them, by the way, I met when I was having a coffee at Speckled Hen, so in Strasbourg. It was very interesting, you know, how God brings people together and encourages us. And I hope that what I'm going to share today, it's not just our vision, but it's going to be also an encouragement for you and to see what God has for you for the ministry that he is calling you. So before I start and go and expand a little bit about the ministry, I'd like just to introduce a bit myself. My name is Orgert. I am from Albania, as Pastor Troy said. You can go into the next slide. And this is my family. Shpresa, my spouse. Shpresa, it's an Albanian name, means hope. She is also my hope. Then Christelle, she's 8 years old. Nathan, 6. And Ariel, the naughty one. She was born here, and we're blessed, actually. So Let me just go a little bit and explain why are we here. So as I said earlier, you can go to the next slide, Albania is a beautiful country. And I don't know if you have visited, but I would encourage to visit this beautiful country because it's gorgeous. It's a tiny country. It's about one-fourth of Pennsylvania, one-fourth. But it's kind of famous for quite a few things. First of all, and this is not really actually a good thing to be famous, but from 1944 till 1990, we were actually under this very horrible dictator, communist dictator, called Enver Hoxha. And in fact, he was so cruel with the churches that he wanted to destroy the churches, and he did actually that. Not just the churches, he started to destroy mosques, because he said, we want to declare this country as an atheist country. And in 1967, it was officially declared an atheist country. That was, I would say, the dark ages of Albania, because still people believed, but they couldn't speak, because if they could speak, they were imprisoned. Now, Albania, actually, we are in democracy. It's a free country. People can enjoy life if they want to. We are open to missionaries. And in fact, it's interesting, God is using now Albania to send missionaries to other countries it's much more difficult actually to send missionaries, like Macedonia. My sister-in-law actually was in Macedonia with Campus Crusade. Greece is very hard, actually, to be a missionary there. I don't think you can even declare yourself to be a missionary. I know it's a European country, but that's how it is. Kosovo, Montenegro, and on the other side, Italy. We are about 2.7 million people. Many Albanians leave the country for economical reasons. The average wage salary is around $400. I know people that make much less a month. And even there are our friends sometimes, they would make $200 to $300. And approximately one-third of population is living right at the edge of poverty. It is sad because actually it's a beautiful land. God has given a lot. There are many factors, social, economical, you know, our past history, communism has done a lot of harm. And that is why so many Albanians now leave the country. So many Christians leave the country. Many of them come here, actually. Many of them go to Germany, to Italy. I can talk even for my own family. My sister lives in Turin, in Italy, north of Italy. My brother lives in Landshut, in Germany, for economical reasons. So this is basically the context. Let me share you a little bit about some statistics, which is in the next slide, and then I'll make the connection, why are we here? So the divorce rate is around 20%. Now, it's not as bad as you might think, because you are like, okay, you know, here it's around 50%. Like half of the marriages will end up in divorce. It's really sad and it's really bad. But, you know, this 20% has some other factors why it is that way. I don't believe we are just doing well as families based upon this number. I don't believe, you know, couples stay together just because they love each other. But it's more of also for economical reasons, like I shared earlier. Women, you know, if they cannot make much income, they are forced to stay with their husbands because they have to, even though they might be abused, but they have to. Otherwise, they cannot really meet their ends. If there is an abuse, sometimes even that thing, it's funny because when we talk about abuse, we're talking about severe abuse. Whereas here, it's slapping or hitting, it's abuse. There, slapping or hitting is like, you know, it's kind of a normal thing sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that this is a normal thing you see on the streets or in the towns, cities, but it could be common, especially in the villages. As you can see on the other part, the faith, we are kind of a mixture. In Albania, we find almost all religions except for Hinduism, you know, and all those Eastern religions. But as you can see, Islam, there are quite a few Muslims that are nominal Muslims. So, and this is, I mean, just for your curiosity, it's not that Albania, it's a Muslim country. There are 56% of the population, they will say they are Muslims. But we became Muslim because we, now again from the history, when the Ottoman Empire, the Turks came and occupied all that region, they put a lot of taxes to people over there. And many Albanians just changed their religion. Actually, they were Catholics, but I wonder whether they were Catholics anyway. You know, they changed their religion from, you know, from being Catholics to being Muslims just because they wanted to pay less taxes. So if you go now to Albania, you don't actually see, you know, this, you know, radicalism or anything, because people are not really actually really Muslims. I mean, a Muslim cannot really drink vodka, for instance. I mean, it's kind of like here, if I would make a draw, simple parallelism, like, you know, people say, oh, I'm a Christian. But by that, they might mean anything, actually. They might mean a Christian that they don't go to church, they even hate the church, and still they call themselves Christians. It's kind of the same thing. So now let's go into the next slide and see why we are here. Now I was raised kind of in the church. I was around 16 years old, maybe a bit younger when I started to go to church. And then I kind of grew up in the church. But for some reason, God gave to me, and it's because of His grace, but this kind of observant eyes to see how things are going. Not to be critical, because we need to be encouraging. But I was just observing over the years. And what I found out that in around 2015, I was struck by this sad truth that in the church, I just realized that we were not talking about issues because we didn't want to be seen like this black sheep that had issues in the church, had problems, or they were struggling with something. And it was, I mean, it's not that people taught us this. I mean, they just didn't talk about problems. And I was like, you know, this doesn't make sense, because, in fact, we know that when people come in the church, it's not that God called, you know, the people who are wealthy and healthy to be in the church. God called actually the sick and the poor to be part of the church. And then I wondered, and I was just reflecting more and more about this, and I was like, why, what's happening here? It's kind of, if we can draw a parallelism with Facebook, it felt like a Facebook church. Now, I need to say this cautiously because I love the church. But I was thinking, well, why this is happening? And in fact, the more I see this, the more I live, the more I can see actually that this sad reality can be also in any church in the world, I think including the United States. And I'm not talking about specific churches, but this was my observation. So as I was thinking about it, at that time I was working as a program manager for World Vision Albania and Kosovo. I was paid quite well. My wife was working as a finance director. She had also a decent job, good career. I had a good career. I was for 12 years with World Vision. And when I shared this with people, like, and saying, you know, God is laying into my heart, you know, to do this ministry, but I need to receive this knowledge and experience, people were like, and then you have to understand the context. If people are poor, if people are like, and they see you with really a good job, things are going well, you have a nice house, people were like, Orgert, are you really sure that God is calling you to do this? I mean, just look at yourself. You're just doing pretty well here. You have a good job, good wife. Wife has a good job. Children are doing well. Good school. And One of my friends said, Orgert, I don't want you to go, but if you go there, now he thought that I wouldn't go, I wouldn't come here, but he said, if you go, I'd like to be your first client. Now just, I would like to invite you to remember this, I would like to be your first client. Because I was still perplexed. It wasn't an easy decision to make. It's almost like foolish, actually, to say to yourself, I mean, and if you see from earthly perspective, God is calling me to do this ministry where I'm not even equipped right now to leave my job, and my spouse leaving her job, and going to a different country because they want to receive this knowledge and, you know, experience in counseling. So one day, actually, I was just praying and praying. And of course, there were tears there. I mean, things are not easy. When God calls people, it's not, you know, this, you know, flowery thing. There are always tears there. I mean, think of Moses. Was Moses really happy to go and deliver the people of Israel? But then I went up on the top of the hill, and it was a hill, by the way. I mean, I know it sounds like interesting to see at the top of the hill, but it was a hill. I was riding my bike, and I wanted to hear from the Lord. And I want this to be more of an encouragement for you as well, brothers and sisters. And I was like, I mean, God, I mean, it sounds very weird what I'm going through. People are more discouraging me to do this than encouraging. They are polite, though. And then I heard, I mean, a Bible passage came to my mind. Now, this Bible passage wasn't something that I have heard before preaching. Now, I knew about that, but it's not I heard it before. And in fact, it was in Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. And then I just immediately opened the Bible. It's like, this must be something here. It was an interesting, actually, passage, because it says, Jesus was saying to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Like, oh, that sounds kind of scary. And then it says, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you, Simon. And I would invite actually to put your name there, that your faith may not fail. At that time, I was kind of overwhelmed by God's goodness. You know, when you feel like you are alone in all of this mess, and then you sense God's presence interceding for you, you know, the Trinity interceding within the Trinity. I mean, it's something that we cannot fathom and understand, but it's just a beautiful truth. And I don't care. I don't need to know how that happens, but I just know that this is really beautiful to know that Jesus is interceding in the presence of the Father for me. And that's enough. So that was very overwhelming and encouraging. But then the other part even hit me more because of the context. Now, I remember my friend telling me, when you come back, I would like to be your client. Now, here Jesus says to Peter, I mean, I'm praying for you, Peter. You're not that strong anyway, you know that. But because I'm praying for you, and this is for his name's sake, when you turn back, strengthen your brothers. And now, putting these two things together, I was like, okay, I mean, game over. There is nothing to really pray more about this. Not that I shouldn't pray in terms of, you know, God's opening doors and so on, but I was like, okay, I mean, there's nothing to be discussed here anymore. It was very clear. From that time on, it was weird. We did, I mean, it was around May, I think, April, May, when I got this message. And I had to apply for a visa. Now, you guys are not used to visas because you don't need, unless you go to Russia or some China. But It's very hard for Albanians to receive visas, so let you know. They're not mean people, but, you know. So I applied, you know, for as a family. And now to apply for a visa, you need to have around maybe $150,000, $200,000 in your account. So because you have to prove that you have to live for 3 years, you have to pay all, you know, schooling here and everything. And we put some savings together. I mean, it was nothing in comparison to what they were expecting. But anyway, we just said, you know, we'll just put something here. And we went and meet this the person that would, you know, basically interview us for the visas. And she talks and says, what are you going to do? And I just say, hey, you know, I mean, I'm going to go to, you know, Lancaster Bible College and do this counseling degree. She was typing. Like, she wasn't saying anything. Like, by the way, I have some financial documents. It was funny to say that because there was nothing in comparison with what we were expecting, but I was like, at least I'll say something. And she's like, I don't need it. Now, when the person says, I don't need it, it's kind of like a bad news because you're like, okay, I mean, we're not going to go there because it sounds like she doesn't need it, so we're not even going to consider it. Says, no, I don't need it. You got it. It's like, got it. After a minute talking together, I was saying to myself, and I wasn't even sure about that, so I said, so what do you mean by that? She says, we're going to mail your visas, you know, to your home address. Like, okay, thank you. And we just left. After that, God opened doors, and this was just a minor thing. But even when we came here, we didn't have a place. And God, miraculously, through another friend, we find a place and we live in Washington Borough right now. Having said that, now we might say, hey, you know, Orgert, it sounds like a beautiful story. It's not a beautiful story for our sake. It's for his name's sake, because we know that God in the end works, you know, I mean, everything turns out for good because he loves us and because his name, actually, because he's a jealous God, he wants to be glorified. So there are still challenges, but I just wanted to encourage that whatever God calls you, even though it might sound very strange, ask people here and there, but then seek counsel from him because you'll be surprised what you'll hear. And with all of this, when we came here, we developed this, which is, yes, we are going back in 2021. There are still a lot of question marks. It's not an easy journey. But we are happier to do this rather than, you know, trying to be in our comfort zone and knowing that you are not in his will. And I hope you understand what I'm saying with this. Trying to be in your comfort zone but not being in his will, it's worse, actually. So I was like, you know, this is going to be the first Christian counseling ministry in Albania that offers professional counseling to couples that need marital counseling, to couples who want to get married so that we can offer premarital counseling. Now, this is not to blame anyone, but I think this was also because of me. I didn't receive premarital counseling, which wasn't a good idea. By the way, I recommend that. I offer premarital counseling here if someone wants. So we're going to offer premarital counseling, marital counseling, but then I was like, okay, but this is just one guy with his family going to Albania. What are you going to do? And then it dawned on me when I was exploring more that, in fact, lay counseling ministry, it's even more important. Not that they are not the other ones, but you remember the context what we talked before in the church. You know, we need to be open. And if there are people who struggle with anything, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone here or two or three people would be available to listen and to be with the person and to pray for the person if the person feels like intimidated about because the sin seems very grave to share it? And I was like, this sounds very beautiful because it's ministering to each other. And lay counselors would be established in the churches. So we want to offer to the Albanian churches, you know, this opportunity if there would be people who want to minister to others who are afraid to share their own struggles. And I think actually it's not just for the Albanian church. I believe for any church it's good to have that. So this is basically the three pillars of our ministry when we go back home. Now if you go into the next slide, and the next slide, and this is basically where we are at. So we came in 2017. We met that cool family over there in Millersville. In 2017, 2020, I graduated from Lancaster Bible College. So I have a degree as a marriage and family therapist and couple therapist. Now I'm working with Pennsylvania Counseling Services to gain more experience, and God is opening doors in very interesting ways and beautiful ways. I'm also gaining some experience with Upward Call Counseling Ministries, which is Shepherd's Touch. I don't know if you know, but it's, you know, a very wonderful man, godly man, Dr. James Johnson. He has been around for a while, giving premarital counseling and marital counseling. I'm blessed to receive from him. And now, I mean, we are in this phase where we are sharing with churches and saying, if you would like to be part of this ministry, please pray for us. It's interesting, and I don't think things are by surprise, but I put here Ephesians 6:12. I know you believe, we're believers, but it's written here. And it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. And honestly, I know when we go back, you know, we all, yeah, you know that when people come up front, they say, you know, we need finances to support us and so on. Yes, it's true. And we need to, by the way. But it's a spiritual warfare. It's not a program. It's not something that we're like, hey, guys, do you really like this? I mean, we know that the evil one is very active to to put those secrets under the rug so that they become so bad that, you know, it explodes or it becomes really nasty. We know that when we go back, there will be people that will be like, are you coming to teach us? Not that, you know, I'm pessimistic, but I kind of get that they, or you're coming from the United States. Are you teaching stuff from these Americans? I know there will be people who will support us as well. Yes, I know that. But if you would pray for us and keep in our minds and hearts that there is this family, whether it's interesting or not, but they are just here and they want to have this ministry over there, just please pray for us because we need this more than anything else. And yes, it's true. We will need financial support for this. I'm sharing with people. There are actually quite some people that are already supporting us, saying or have committed to support us, whether personally sending to us, you know, directly through PayPal or through Millersville Mennonite Church, which is our home church here. In whatever way, if God lays in your heart, but please prayerfully consider it. I'm not trying to appeal in a sense like, because it's more of like a joint venture here. If God wants to lay in your heart to support with $1, $2, still it's good. The third thing is that, if you go in the next slide, I have been abundantly blessed with people around saying, Orgert, if you would like to offer lay counseling training there in Albania, I would like to come. It sounds like this is booked in a good way because there are quite a few people that have offered to come and support. We feel really blessed with this. Not that we don't need, but really we see God's hand. There are so many godly people that this country has actually that is offering this help. So, and lastly, if you could share this with others, and if you are interested to know more, I'm very much open to talk about it. I mean, at that table over there, I put some more information. If you are interested to know about this ministry, I'm very much willing also to share more. Ultimately, I want to end with this, and maybe you might have questions, and you're welcome. I mean, it's for God's glory. It's not for us. And I've realized that, actually, that when we start thinking about ourselves and our ego, then God, in mysterious and wonderful ways, will actually show us our ego. But when I think about all of this, and I would like to encourage you also, that it's everything about Him, it's not about us. It's everything about His glory and not about us. And I would like, when I share this, I do not want actually you to see me, even though you can see me physically, but to see God's goodness through this sinful Albanian man He, in His abundant grace, chose, you know, to talk with other people and encourage. So thank you. And I know Pastor Troy is coming up front.
Wow, great. Thank you so much, Orgert, for being here and sharing your heart. And Michelle and I know Wes and Millie at Millersville Mennonite, the pastors there are part of the board, right, of the Mustard Seed, or are connected there?
They're connected, but they're busy. So.
But they have also, they give such high recommendations of Orgert and Spressa and how they've served at that church while they've been here. So a lot of great credibility from you guys, and we're just so thrilled. And the fact that they're going back to Albania, Orger didn't say, but I know a lot of people, when they came to the United States, were thinking they're never coming back, because that's kind of common. But it shows the integrity of their hearts that they're saying, yes, we are. This is what God has called us to. We're fulfilling that vision, and I think that's beautiful. So what, any questions that you have for Orgert about, it's a privilege, just like we heard 2 weeks ago from Jan in the Czech Republic, countries that are not always on our radar, that we don't understand or have a lot of experience with, but we get to hear about, and we get to understand and get our vision beyond in other places in this great world. So yeah, any questions that anybody has for Orgert as we finish up our time here? Orgert, I have one. Could you just give us a word about the church in Albania? How would you describe the church in Albania in 50 words or less? You can come back.
I'm a bit biased if I would answer this question. Biased because there are so many people that come from different countries that many of them are so encouraging. There are some who are not as much. Now, that's why when you say church, it's such a big thing. There are 0.14% of the population are evangelicals, but in terms of denominations, I would say they are the same as here, actually. So can you imagine 0.14, like 15,000 people having like 200, 500 denominations? So with that said, I would say this. The Albanian church is still young. What they are missing, though, or if we are in the verge of missing, is that there are young families like ours. They are struggling. Quite a few are considering seriously to leave Albania. And this is the saddest part. Like, and I try to encourage, but you need to be very careful how you encourage, because you're not in their shoes to really understand their problems. So the church is quite young. But we are in this kind of verge that many are kind of leaving. I know friends that are living in Canada, in the United States, in Germany, that they have left. And when you talk with them, it's kind of sad because they say we're leaving for economical reasons. So with that said, if God calls you to be a missionary to Albania, I can say this, you are going to enjoy it. because Albanians are also very friendly people. If you are kind of a casual person, we don't mind having coffee with you, even though we had some other business to do before. What I'm trying to say is that we are kind of an open culture and we are more relational. Interestingly, the word relationship in my language, translated literally, means we are in a give and take. That's how it's called. So in my home, in my town, we have a Mennonite church there. We are not part of that Mennonite church, but we have good friends from that church. And they actually have started a school there, which is a blessing. So it's kind of a mixed feelings, I would say. But it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Other questions for Orgert?
I
don't have the place. Marianne asked if he has a place already for the counseling center.
The center will be, God willing, in Tirana, which is the capital. There are many people there, but we're not going just because there are many people. It's also the context. In my hometown, it's very tiny. Yes, we'd like to have a satellite, just an office there for people who would like to come, but because it's a small town, and because of the fear, like I talked earlier, she's going there. She might have some big problems. You know, we would like to have it somewhere that is a little bit more confidential. Where? We have some ideas. Campus Crusade has a beautiful, you know, building there. We have some connections. It's not finalized or anything because we have to go there. People still might think that we'll stay here in the country, so... So we have to be physically there to tell, here we are, not a ghost. So yeah, that's why. Tirana, the capital. But God willing, if it expanded, then, you know, it could go anywhere.
All right, well, let's just take some time to pray for Orgert and his family as we before we do our closing song here. And I will do it similarly. If it's helpful for you, you've been sitting, you can stand and stretch forth your hand here to Orgert, or you can stay seated and do that. But we just want to speak words of blessing and life over Orgert and his family as they continue to follow the call of God as he's given them. And I'll just give a moment. I'll just say a short prayer and then give a moment of listening, as we've done before. And then if you have a sentence or a phrase or two that you want to speak out of prayer or of just encouragement and blessing, then you can speak those out and I'll try to repeat them in the microphone and then I'll close us together. Okay, so I'll pray a short prayer. We'll take a minute of silence. And then I'll just invite any prayers or words of blessing that you have for Orgert and his family. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. And thank you for the sign, the channel of your presence that Orgert and his family are to this world and to us this morning. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and help us to bless them, to encourage them, to pray your life over them. So I just invite you to take a moment of silence and ask the Lord, what is he putting in your heart to speak over Orgert this morning? And then I will invite us to pray those out. Okay, feel free to speak out a word of prayer, blessing, or encouragement to Orgert. A picture of a ladder and saw Orgert just climbing one rung at a time. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that when you call, you provide. Thank you for how you provided for Orgert and their family, and we pray the same faithfulness and provision as they walk back to Albania. Yeah, thank you for the persistence of this family, and we bless them with perseverance to continue to walk in your timing, in your ways in this ministry. And I just had the picture of the seed. I know the title is the mustard seed, but just believe in that this is only a seed, and as all good seeds do, the last phase of your slide there was to multiply. And we just speak that fruitfulness and multiplication. And even what you're mentioned there, that it's not only for Albania. We just say yes to that as well, that this would multiply in Albania, but it would be beyond that. And you carry a vision that's bigger than just Albania. And whether it's you or others that carry it, we just bless that with fruitfulness, not only in Albania, but in the surrounding countries and wherever else God may have for this ministry. So we bless Orgard and Spresa this morning. Thank you for their encouragement of faith and obedience, as was said. And we just receive that encouragement into our own lives and pray that over them, that they would continue to walk faithfully in faith and obedience as your Spirit leads them, setting their hope on you. And would you surround them, even as you have been this year, with all that they need for the next steps in this journey, Lord. We trust you to do that as we commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.